turned to the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2. I want to ask the Lord's blessing in a moment, but I want to share this with you so that you can have this thought in your mind as we pray together and look at God's Word together, going through the book of John. I try to look ahead just a little bit and go over some scriptures and make some preparation on messages a few weeks in advance. It helps me to look and to consider and pray about and look at what the Lord is saying. And I looked at this passage of Scripture. I want to look at John chapter 2, verse 12, one passage of Scripture. And as I began looking on it, on that Scripture, I looked at it and reading on some of the commentaries and different things that I try to look and glean from what the Lord has taught other men. Most of the writers said that this was just like a transition verse. It was just like a parenthesis from when the Lord made water into wine until He cleansed the temple, which is what follows this particular verse. And just a kind of a thought, kind of a, you know, that's kind of how it was set across. And I began to think on that passage of Scripture, and the more I looked at that passage of Scripture, what appears to be just kind of a passing thought, that's the Scriptures you ought to look at, especially where it's not apparent what's being said. And so this morning, as we look at chapter 2 and verse 12, I pray that the Lord's pleased to bless this passage to our heart. Let's read verse 12 and then have a word of prayer. John 2, 12. After this, He went down to Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's so good to be here. And Lord, how wonderful it is to even stop for just a minute and think that we have the blessed privilege to hear the Word of God, and to have a heart that hears the Word of God, and to have a mind that has been created from above that loves Your Word. Lord, would You bless this Word to our heart and cause us to truly hear and to rejoice in that which we see and behold the glory of our blessed Savior. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. I go back often to this Scripture that says, all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. That means we know what we know, and what we believe and what we teach, we know that by God's Word. Profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, that means the evidence. How can you prove what you believe? Well, the Word of God, God's Word. It's profitable for correction. I like this. This is what correction means. To straighten up. Straighten up. and for instruction in righteousness, for tutoring. All Scripture. Now, I know this. I know that John 2:12 is profitable. And I would pray this morning that God would teach us something. There's four things that I believe that I can see, and I pray that the Lord's pleased to truly bear to our hearts out of this passage of Scripture. Now, I know this. We read Scripture and we compare Scripture to Scripture. Scripture bears witness of itself. So in these four things, I'm going to show you some other Scripture that bears out what I'm saying concerning this Word. Four truths. Here's what I know. First of all, based on that Scripture, after this he went down to Capernaum. I know that Almighty God is faithful. Faithful to His Word, and He's merciful. After this, he went down to Capernaum. Now, the fact that our Lord went to Capernaum is a miracle of God's grace. I know that. Well, you say, well, how do you know it? Well, it's because His coming to this city proved His deity in the fulfillment of what the Word of God said He would do. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew 4. Now, our Lord went to Capernaum many times. And this particular passage of Scripture I'm going to show you was a fulfillment. And leaving Matthew 4:13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now you say, well, what do you mean? That particular event right there, Scripture says in verse 12, is when the Lord had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed, went to Galilee. He went to Capernaum many times. But the fact that he went to Capernaum is the fact that I'm setting forth. Now let me tell you, look in Isaiah 9:1. Isaiah chapter 9. You know, somebody might say, well, why are you making such a big deal out of him going down to this city? What's the part of this that you're trying to stress? It's that all Scripture bears out His deity. Now, had He not gone to Capernaum and not fulfilled this one Scripture, His deity would have been shown to be that which is not consistent. Isaiah 9:1 says this, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isaiah said hundreds of years before, the Lord's going to go to Capernaum. He's going to come to this place. He's going to dwell in that place. They're going to see a great light. He's going to shine in darkness. And here back in John, it says after this, he went down to Capernaum. Capernaum, just like all men in darkness, must have him come. No man comes to him. The Lord himself must come to those that he's everlastingly loved. So here I see in him coming to Capernaum that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. Faithful. Isaiah said he will come to Capernaum. He's going to come. Here the scripture says he did go down. Rest assured, what Almighty God has said he's going to do, he's going to do. We're sitting here this morning, and I promise you this, when he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, you can rest assured it's going to happen. Every man, every woman that does not bow and kiss the Son, God's angry. Rest assured, God's word is sure. So I know in that little scripture right this, after this he went down to Capernaum. Praise the Lord. God Almighty is consistent. He's merciful. Here's the second thing I know. He went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren, his disciples. And they continued there not many days. Knowing that he went down, and this is what I meant a while ago when I said Scripture bears out Scripture. I know for a fact that he went down to Capernaum. Going down to Capernaum, I know that the Scripture says that the Lord said of himself, I do always only those things that please my Father. I know that he went there to preach. I know that they heard. The Scripture says in Isaiah that the light shined in darkness. This is what I also know about him going there. That men are responsible for what they hear or what they could have heard. He went down to Capernaum. The Scripture says back in Matthew and then in Isaiah, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. I know that there were some of God's people there. I know that many people heard. But many that heard him preach refused to hear what he said. They refused to bow. They refused to continue after him. I'm going to prove that to you. Turn to John 6:56. Now the Lord went down to Capernaum. That we know. John 6:56. John 6:56 says this, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Look at verse 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now what he did right there, he's in Capernaum. He went down to Capernaum. And he preached in Capernaum. And he set forth, back in those first verses, that he's the bread. He that eats me, eateth of me, eats of my life, eats of my death, he's going to live by me. He taught those things while he was in the synagogue there in Capernaum. Many of them said, that's a hard saying. This thing of your sovereignty. From that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. If any man comes to Christ by faith, he comes as a result of Almighty God powerfully creating life within that man. He's willing to come in the day of God's power. He comes because the Lord has given him a heart to come. Coming to Christ is absolutely the work of God Almighty. No man can come. I told you, someone asked me one time, they said, what if someone truly wants to come and God doesn't draw them? I said, they won't. They won't come. He will not come. No man can come. No man can come except God Almighty give him a heart. I know this. The Scripture says he went down to Capernaum. The Scripture says that while he was in Capernaum, he preached. He sent forth himself, the Messiah, the bread of heaven. And he told them, no man can come except my Father, which has sent me, draw him. And while he was in Capernaum, they said, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Some of them left. They were responsible for what they heard, or what they could have heard. Almighty God raises up a place where the gospel of free grace is preached. Men say, well, I didn't hear. You could have. You could have. A man refuses because he chooses to refuse. That's the reason that men don't come to Christ. They don't want to. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. No man will, no man can. Salvation is of the Lord. Almighty God is not trying to do anything. He doeth as He will. In the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, no man stays his hand. Men are responsible for what they heard, what they could have heard. He went down to Capernaum. I think about what our Lord said in Matthew 11, 23, 24, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Here's the third thing I know from that passage of Scripture. The Lord makes manifest His people. You say, well, how do you get that? After this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. You say, well, it just sounds like all of them were with him. He and his brethren, his mother, his brethren, and his disciples. Now, I will tell you this. We never attempt to stray from the revelation of God's truth. But there's something found within this verse that's borne out to be so concerning the Scriptures. Matthew 12. I want you to turn to Matthew 12, 46. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to understand that every time you see a word, don't assume that you always know what it means. Look it up. Whenever there's a word found in God's Holy Scriptures, if the evidence is not found concerning what that person is described to be, if the evidence of it is not found, then that word does not necessarily mean what you think it might. Let me show you what I'm talking about. He said, he used two words here. He used brethren and he used disciples. And in that sense, both of those words, both of those titles, brethren, disciples, was evidenced by this. Verse 50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. True faith is evidenced by faithfulness. True faith is evidenced by faithfulness. The Lord described brethren, disciples, as being those that follow Him, that obey Him, that walk after Him. I want you to turn back to John where we just were, John 6. John 6, verse 64. Now here's a word. He just used a word over in Matthew. Brethren and disciples, those that do the will of my Father, believing. That's the will of God, of the Father. This is the will of my Father, which has sent me. Believe in Christ, trust in Christ, kiss the Son. That's the evidence of God's will. Now listen to John 6, 64 to 66. For there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Disciple means a learner. A learner. You said, well, I thought that he said that there were brethren and disciples. Yes, and he described them and he gave evidence of who those were that were truly his sheep. He that doeth the will of my Father. Here's some followers right here. That's what disciples mean. A follower. That heard what he said and went back and walked no more with him. How do you know who God's sheep are? They remain. They stay. The Scripture says they went out from us because they were not of us, for had they been of us, surely they would have remained. The Lord Jesus Christ, back in John 2:12, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. There were some that were following him for a while. But I know this, that those that Almighty God has given the Lord Jesus Christ in everlasting and eternal grace and election, they stay. They're faithful. They don't leave. God's people do not leave. Let me ask you this, you that believe. Where would you go? Where would you go? Knowing that our blessed Savior chose 12 apostles and one of them was the devil. He said that. He chose 12. Why would there be some walking with Him going down to Capernaum? We're not told. We're not told. Who the brethren were, who His disciples were, we're not told. And where the Spirit of God is silent, the Spirit of God is silent. I'm not here to try to figure out who they were. All I'm telling you is that there were some that were brethren, and there were some that were disciples. How do you know the difference? Those that are His, whether they be disciples that follow Him truthfully, or whether they be tares that follow Him for a while, they're both described in the Scripture as disciples. Why? Why are they there? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 11:19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Almighty God, in the indescribable wisdom of God, has allowed Satan to plant in the midst of His sheep tares. Remember when the disciples in that parable said, "Oh, you want us to go in there and rip the tares out?" No. Leave them alone. You don't know who the tares are. You don't know who the sheep are either. You say, "Well, I got a pretty good idea." No, you don't. No, you don't. We think we know. You think, "Well, I tell you what, I just don't see how." I mean, there's some people that I know, and I know, I just know for a fact. I know they would never leave. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'll tell you this, but for the grace of God, this will be the last time I stand right here. But for the grace of God, you'd say, "I can't believe there is no way that you'd ever convince me that Marvin would ever leave." Don't you kid yourself. I've got a nature that I walk around in, and I'm gone all the time. I'm standing here this morning by the grace of God. Almighty God, He went down. The Scripture says He went down to Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples. I know this. In that Scripture, I know this. God's faithful. He's faithful to His Word. He did go. I know this. He's going to make manifest His people. I know that. I know He's going to keep them. And I know this in closing. I know that this life is but a vapor. Scripture says, "And they continued there not many days." Think back now on how short a time the Lord was here in His earthly ministry. He was 33, somewhere in that 33-year-old range. His earthly ministry was somewhere around 3 years. I don't know how long He was in Capernaum. I don't know how long. The Scripture says that He was there. He continued there not many days. That He was there was by the grace of God. That He was there was a fulfillment of Scripture. That He was there left men without excuse. Because He preached while He was there. While he was there, He manifested that there were some that followed Him and they weren't truly His. He said, He told them there in Capernaum. He was preaching in Capernaum. They heard that. He said, but He wasn't there that long. They continued there not many days. We don't have any promise of tomorrow. We have no promise of tomorrow. You don't have a promise that you're going to make it the rest of the day. I can tell you this. You don't have a promise that you're going to be here in the next 15 minutes. You say, how do you know? I know. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to, not our months, not our weeks, not our years. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto Christ. Lord, I'm just a frail creature of dust. Help me today. Lord, while these wonderful truths are set forth from your scriptures, help me to hear. Help me to perceive. Help me to learn. Lord, comfort my heart according to your blessed truth. We're just sojourners here. I'm telling you, it's gone. It's gone. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I was driving down the road, turned into Barrickville the other day. I noticed a little plaque on the side of the road there. It said, Barrickville, established 1767. 1767. Somewhere around 1954, 55, something like that, God was pleased to raise up a preacher. Now, this town had been here, established in 1767. And somewhere around early 50s, 54, 55, 53, somewhere, the Lord was pleased to call out a preacher, raised up a candlestick. And this candlestick, as far as I know, 190 years, somewhere 187, 190, I tried to do the math, and just close to 190 years passed before God was pleased to raise up a preacher in this city, this little town. Now, you say, but that since the mid-50s, man, that's been over 50-something years. He continued there not many days. In light of eternity, how long do you think 50-something years is in light of eternity? Just a moment, just a vapor, just an instant. God Almighty allowed the gospel of Christ to be placed in Katy, West Virginia. And he continued here not many days. Now listen, we have the blessed privilege to hear the gospel of God's grace. There's some of you sitting here that in the infinite mercy of Almighty God, God placed you where you could hear the truth and gave you a heart to believe it. Now let me ask you something. Who maketh thee to differ? Behold, 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued not there many days. May the Lord teach us, comfort us, for the sake of his blessed Son and for the good of his people. Amen. Let's take about a 10-minute break.